The following presentation, Microsoft Office 365 rollout, was given by Phil Smart of Cardiff University at NetWorkshop 42 in April 2014.
Question I can't answer, then I'll just run away and tell you that you need to go and speak to Lynn. So a quick overview. So we're going to first sort of look at Cardiff University and the current email system and the current state of the email there. Then we're going to look for the drivers for change. So why did we change from our current email system? Then we're going to look at sort of why we chose a cloud solution. Then the challenges of that cloud solution. And sort of finally the implementation of Office 365 within Cardiff and our current sort of rollout status. So prior to migration, we sort of were a Lotus or an IBM sort of shop, really. We run Lotus Notes and Domino in particular for our email. We did have about 15,000 staff mailboxes, basically user mailboxes and shared mailboxes. You may wonder why the number is so large. We actually have around 5,000 to 6,000 sort of active staff, but over the years we've accumulated a large number of additional staff mailboxes from somewhere, and they still have them and still use them, so we can't just throw them away. We've got around 35,000 student mailboxes as well, and to support that we've got 6 staff servers, 14 student servers, and around 14 terabyte of email data. Obviously a large amount of that is attachments. It turns out the researchers like to work. I was previously a researcher, and we like to work by sending large PDFs to each other all the time. Here's my latest version with one new word, so we'll send the entire 10 megabyte PDF version again. So it just builds up in terms of the amount of data that we have to handle, and of course that causes issues for backup and so on and so forth. And actually, I don't necessarily think Domino is intended for such large usage. If I'm honest, we do get some issues. So the drivers for change. Those who know Domino, it's not a cost-effective solution just for email. So we bought sort of the IBM suite, sort of an application infrastructure, which was more than just email. So when we initially took on the IBM stack, it wasn't just for providing an email solution. A lot of it was, so we had other things. So we changed our portal to be the IBM sort of software stack. We've got connections, so we use connections, we use Quicker. So we've got a lot more applications that came with it, and it wasn't just about, you know, the email system, if you like, when we first went over to the IBM solution. And therefore it's not cost effective just for email, because we don't actually use a lot of this stack anymore. So our portal is moving away from IBM. We're using, well, it's sort of still in consultation to a certain extent, but we may be moving to like a content management system like Squiz. You know, we will still be using connections, but Quicker, I'm not sure. So there's a lot of services there which we didn't actually use. So to have that entire software stack just for email seemed a little bit overkill, really. Mobile support was late to come and had limited scalability, although it did improve as the service went along. And some of it, general sort of poor fit for our organization. So ID files were a pain. If you had the Notes client, we sort of copied the ID file onto a Windows server, then we had a Visual Basic script which copied the Notes ID file onto your home directory by opening up your home directory through the NDS client, and then copied it there, and then you'd be ready, and sometimes that broke. So there was a lot of sort of patching and hacking that we had to do to actually get it to work for our users. So what is sort of our way Office 365? So we did a big consultation in university. I think it was Bull, I can't remember the full title, but we did a large consultation, lots of stakeholders involved, obviously, across the university, and we came up with a set of functional, non-functional requirements, tried to mark a number of email systems against that, and really we came to sort of 2 front runners, if you like, maybe 3, and we had Zimbra as an open source kind of solution, which I think Yahoo own, I can't quite remember, and obviously one being Google, and the other being Office 365 or Live Edu, I think it was, when we first looked at it. And so we did choose Office 365. Exchange is still a market leader for groupware. It has very good cross-desktop client support, although if you've got the Mac Outlook compared to the Windows Outlook, there is differences in functionality. So it's not amazing, but if you compare it to the Notes client that we used to give to people, then it's significantly better, unfortunately, than the poorly written Notes client. There's far better mobile support, so ActiveSync obviously is an incredibly useful protocol, and it synchronizes your mail, it synchronizes your calendars, it synchronizes your contacts. So it's much more, when we did sort of mobile support, if you like, for Notes or Domino, then it was really IMAP. So we were giving people access to their mailbox by our IMAP. And our IMAP servers broke quite a lot, unfortunately, with Domino. So we've got much better that. So we also, another plus point is we're now giving students Pro Plus, so they can go to the portal and download the Office suite, and they love it, and more of that later. There's a bit of a driver within Wales to use Office 365, nothing to do with me, I'm not sure why that is, but the Welsh Government have chosen to use Office 365. I'm not entirely sure about the universities across Wales either, but there did seem to be this sort of momentum for using 365 as opposed to Google. Lynn, who's a Welsh speaker, said it's got good Welsh language support, which is why he's put that in, so he's extremely happy with that. And ultimately, Microsoft gave us licenses for free for staff and students, which makes perfect sense. If they're going to take on 50,000 people, that means 50,000 people more likely to use Office apps in the future, more likely to use Hotmail or whatever in the future. So they're really just bringing on board a lot of potential customers later on. So they gave it all to us for free. And of course, as is a cloud solution, we don't have to run the servers anymore. We don't have to worry about the storage, which was becoming an issue. We don't have to worry about backups, and we don't have to worry about software upgrades. So Office 365 itself is, of course, a software as a service, which means all the usual cloud stuff, really. So reduced IT support costs, hardware, software, maintenance. It also provides, not only does it provide, obviously, mail, it provides Link, SharePoint, etc. We currently give Link to our staff. We don't do anything with SharePoint at the moment. There's obviously Office Web Apps, Project Online. So there's other sort of applications as well, which we could be using, will be using in the future. So it's all around based around Active Directory. I'll go more into that in a second. For our email system, we were largely given a blank Exchange environment to work in. So we kind of, they said, here's your Exchange, set it up whichever way you want. So, you know, we run a number of different configurations, different setups, a number of different default policies than we initially had. So we do all that configuration ourselves. The next point comes up more later, so we can skip it. Challenges of the cloud. In Cardiff, as is probably common across universities, we've got a very stringent change control process, and we've got a very stringent change freezes. So in other words, if students are taking exams, we typically have a change freeze so we don't break any of the systems that they need when doing exam time. And we can't easily tell Microsoft to do that, so that's obviously a big issue. We can sort of delay big upgrades, but there is a continual increment or small improvements made to the service. It's about every 2 weeks, and we don't really know what they're doing, and we don't really know if it's broken. There was an occasion where, this goes in with the monitoring as well, or the lack of monitoring, where we had 300 users who didn't receive mail for up to a day, and Microsoft didn't know about it. One of their servers went down. They didn't know about it. The only way that they knew about it is because we told them, and it seems that their monitoring, particularly on their dashboards page, seems to work that if enough people complain, then they tell everyone else that there's a problem. So that's kind of, you know, a bit of an issue on occasion. We initially had free support from Microsoft, but it turned out that, Lynn could tell you more about this, but it turned out it wasn't very good, so we had to pay for the premium support, which wasn't particularly cheap. But the free support was, you know, we sort of got support sometime whenever we could. It wasn't very ideal, really. So the technical challenges in Cardiff, we didn't have Active Directory, and we needed an on-site Active Directory to sync to the cloud Active Directory in order to facilitate, you know, all of this, really. So we needed an on-site Active Directory, which we didn't have. Then we have to obviously consider the integration of provisioning, you know, a 365 mailbox or a Link license, etc., into our existing identity management system. Then, of course, we had the challenges of migrating users from Domino across to 365. Then, of course, we got the challenges of mail routing. So Microsoft has quite good support for hybrid sort of systems if you're using your own stack. In other words, you can have an on-site Exchange implementation, and you can have the cloud implementation. There's a wizard which will set up mail routing between the two. So you could have on-site for staff, and then you could have all your students in the cloud, and there's like kind of a bit of a wizard, really, which just sets up the mail routing between the two, and you don't have to worry about it. But of course, we were going on Domino on-site, if you like, to 365 in the cloud, and it was more difficult to do that. So we actually still run sort of Linux mail hubs on campus. So what actually happens is all mail comes to our mail hub, and then we either route it internally, or we've got a subdomain in 365, and then we route that off up to the cloud. In 365, if you send a mail, it'll either route it internally, and if it can't, there's a connector there which pushes it back to us. So we sort of handle mail routing like that. Our MX record therefore still points to us, it doesn't point to the cloud, although that will potentially change in time. Migrating data is another sort of potential issue. Sometimes it's slow and sometimes it's fast. We don't really know, and of course we have no real sort of contract, if you like, with Microsoft to say we're going to be able to provision or migrate these number of users in this amount of time. So it's sort of, it can be good and it might not be, at the same time. So if we're looking at this from the perspective of integrating it with our identity management system, everything, all our users in Cardiff were in eDirectory because we were largely a Novell based identity management solution. But of course, what we needed now was Active Directory as well. All our accounts come in from three data authorities, really, either from HR, so we use Core, or from a student record system, in which case we use Tribal SITS, or from a web interface, which we wrote in-house, which allows you to administer accounts and create accounts through a web interface. So we've got all data coming in from these three data authorities. And when data comes in, we transform that data and we say, okay, some of you are going to be on the cloud and some of you are going to have still a domino mailbox. And we do that by drools, or just some business logic rules based on the affiliation and the school. So we can have different types of people in different schools on different mail systems. And then we give, so some of our departments still are set to domino. So if you were to create an account in some departments, you're going to get a domino mailbox, and most others at the moment are now cloud. So we've now got our users, if you like, in our directory, some saying they're on the cloud mailbox, some saying that they've got a domino mailbox. What we then need to do is synchronize all those users from our active directory, from our eDirectory into our active directory, which we do via dir XML, and we largely put most of the users through into our active directory. Then dirsync, which is part of FIM, then synchronizes our users from our on-site active directory to the cloud Azure active directory. And we do modify dirsync slightly. So we've got a 1-hour sync policy rather than three. The reason being, people used to go into our web interface, change someone's mail name, and then it changes immediately to them on our eDirectory. But it was taking 3 hours to action in the cloud, and we didn't have that sort of discrepancy before, so they were very confused. So we tried to bring that time back to about an hour. So essentially what we've got is our users now synchronizing up to the cloud. We don't do this for shared mailboxes, so all our shared mailboxes we handle separately, which I'll discuss in a second. And we then had to implement ADFS for authentication. So we've got Shibboleth, or SAML support, if you like, on site. That's really our primary technology for federated authentication. But the Shibboleth, or the SAML support, I should say, for 365 wasn't very mature when we started this. It is now apparently a lot better, but we have yet to do that. So we had to implement ADFS for authentication as well. So what we've got is the user in the cloud, so they appear in the address book, but they don't have a mailbox. In order to do that, you have to license them. So to license them, it's a little bit more tricky than it may seem, but to license them, when we are bringing people through and we're setting their mail type to be MS Cloud, for example, what we actually do then is send an AMQP, advanced message queuing protocols. We send an AMQP message with an XML payload from our identity management system onto a queue. So we've got this RabbitMQ server, and then we've got a .NET program which consumes messages off this queue, communicates or interfaces to PowerShell, constructs a commandlet from that, and then actions that on the cloud. It's a very confusing sort of way of doing it, because what you actually do with Microsoft is you tell it the service plan you want and what licenses you don't want. So you don't say, so if I want a mail license, you don't say, give me a mail license. You say, well, I want everything other than Link and SharePoint, etc. So you kind of have to construct these different sets and then assign that on through PowerShell. So it's a little bit confusing. So that's the way we currently do it. So anyone that comes through, we put on the queue, and then this consumer takes it off the queue, constructs PowerShell essentially, and actions it in the cloud. So we've now got our users in the cloud, they appear in the address book, and we license them, so they've got a mailbox and or a Link license. What do we do when people leave? Well, In Cardiff University, we've got sort of a policy of keeping the mailboxes for around a year. But if we were to remove them, as used to be the case, if we were to remove them from our directory, remove them from our active directory, then they wouldn't get synced up to the cloud anymore, in which case Microsoft would remove the mailbox, or technically put it in the trash, I think, for 30 days, and then we'd lose the mailbox after 30 days. But we've got a requirement to have it for a year. So what we actually do is we just move them in AD to a different container when they've expired. So if you're a staff member and your end date is today, for example, then by tomorrow you'll have moved in AD into a different container. That container is still synchronized to the cloud, so Microsoft still think you exist and everything's fine, but you can't authenticate with ADFS in that container. So in other words, you can't log in to your mailbox, but your mailbox still exists. And then after about a year, we then get rid of you altogether from AD at the moment, but there's an alumni project going on which can change various aspects of that, but I won't go into that now. And then, of course, once they've removed, you then get a further 30 days that Microsoft give you for mailbox retention. Shared mailboxes, we do this all through, we manage this all through PowerShell, if you like, but we do it again through sending messages to a queue. So in other words, if you create a shared mailbox in our identity management system, we queue up a message which says to create a shared mailbox. The PowerShell adapter takes that information and then constructs a PowerShell, or uses a PowerShell commandlet, constructs the correct command, and then creates your shared mailbox in 365. The difference here is we have to handle the full life cycle of the shared mailbox. With users, if you change a user, they get synchronized through to Office 365 and it changes. Because we don't synchronize shared mailboxes this way, if you change, a display name, we have to then put that message on the queue, and you have to action a bit of PowerShell to change their display name. If you want to remove it, we have to put something on the queue, and then we action a PowerShell command to remove it. This one I just added in the time we've got left, just as a quick note, because when we then implemented Pro Plus, when we wanted to assign Pro Plus licenses to users, in short, what we did was we did away with PowerShell to license them for Pro Plus. We actually then started to use the Microsoft Azure Graph API, which is a RESTful API, which is basically a programmatic API, so I can actually do this. We still stick messages on the queue, but then we action them programmatically rather than using PowerShell. PowerShell is very good for an admin, but it's not very good for a program to actually do this. So we then create and assign licenses, or we now do it using the Graph API. And if anybody wants to know how we do that, I can go into that in more detail. But and that we found is much more reliable, much more robust, and we've got a much better assurance that the license is taken. So we change the license, they send us back the object through JSON or XML. We look at it and we say, oh yeah, we did assign the license, that's fine. In PowerShell, we kind of send the license through the commandlet and kind of hope for the best. I mean, you can then check and things like that. You can make it more reliable, but it's not really intended to do that, whereas the Graph API is. So that's very useful. Very quick point on migration. We didn't use any specialist tools for the mail routing. We just do SMTP mail routing. We use Quest for the data migration. This includes the mail, the calendaring, and the tasks. We've got 5 workstations running the Outlook and the Notes client, libraries essentially, and then the Quest tool sits in the middle. And they've got 10 threads in each, so we've got 50 parallel user migrations. The XXX there is not meant to be XX, sorry, is not meant to be that. It's supposed to be, so we do about 200 to 500 user staff migrations a night. Students were much easier, much quicker, because they had much less mail. So they had far smaller mailboxes, and they didn't really care about calendaring so much, but staff mailboxes are much bigger. And of course, they got more calendaring and more tasks, etc. So we currently, for staff, run about 200 to 500 users per night. We did about 200 last night. At about 2 gig of data. We did about 40 gig last night. We did about 2 gig an hour from each workstation. So it takes about overnight, so we do about 200 to 500 people, depending on how fast Microsoft are operating. This is still a bit of a learning experience, and Quest are still sort of supplying us regular updates to the tool because things break, things don't work. We did, at one stage, lose 4 of our 5 workstations. They just stopped authenticating to Microsoft. Actually, Microsoft changed their endpoint, I think, at one stage, which didn't help us, and they didn't tell us. And then we had to look it up somewhere on a forum. So there is these aspects with cloud-managed solutions. You just don't know what's going on sometimes. And then we got them working again, but so we're back up to that now. In terms of rollout, all of our students have moved to Office 365, so we don't have any students left who still on Domino. Again, quite easy for student migrations because the mailboxes are quite small. They didn't really care about calendaring. In fact, sometimes I don't even know if they really care about mail. They probably got their own mailboxes, mail systems as well. Probably a lot of them use Gmail and things like that. And actually, if mail is delivered, they're quite happy and they get that. So it's not the end of the world. We've got a lot of students also redirect mail from their Cardiff mailbox to their Gmail box as well or whatever. So they actually kind of choose their own solution in some ways, and then they just kind of use us in the interim. Staff, we've moved around 75% of our staff over. And again, that's far more involved. We had switchover teams out there helping them as well. And there wasn't much resistance, is the last point to make. Everyone hated, well, not everyone, but students didn't really care, and staff really kind of hated notes, but they don't seem to mind 365. We don't really have many complaints. And that's that. If there's any questions, could have ended it there.
Questions, anyone?
We didn't have that in the initial scope. We are now looking to give students link. I think initially was we wanted to pilot it a bit. We wanted to give it to staff, see if it's useful, etc. I think now we probably would make the decision to give them link, but we don't have that as a project yet to do, although it may be. So yes, we probably will, I would have thought. Yeah.
So you've got quite a complicated environment.
Yeah.
Is that for the transition, just the intention that everything's going to be Office 365 and then you can do it through the local?
Pretty much, yeah. I think, most of the MX record will change over 365. I think we probably lose most of the Linux mail hubs. We may keep a few. There was a reason for that. I can't quite remember. We do some mailing list type activity, I think, which we'd need like mailing lists for. I can't quite remember, but ultimately, yeah, we're going to get rid of all our Domino servers, really. We might have just some mail hubs left. That's about it, really. So, yeah, so it's going to simplify it to a certain extent. I mean, we're still stuck with eDirectory and Active Directory, and we'll be having that for quite a while, I would imagine. We have, yeah. So it's not something we can easily change.
Anyone else? Okay, well, it just leads me to say thank you very much to Nathan, Ed, and Phil. And if you could put your hands together in appreciation, thank you. Thank you. Well, I believe that's coffee break time now, isn't it? So it's back over in the main building.
This recording was brought to you by Janet Training as part of NetWorkshop Online. Further information is available on our website at www.ja.net/training.